Hi, I'm Jennifer Vine, President and CEO of the Education Foundation of Sarasota County, and your host for Education Conversations, a discussion forum to share innovative and relevant thoughts, research, and ideas on education today, and to help prepare students to thrive. Welcome to this episode of Education Conversations, Our Students Today, a High School Perspective. There is no question that the past 4 years in public education have been marked by several significant events and changes. Leading the way was the impact of the COVID pandemic, which I'm sure we're all probably a little tired of hearing about, but it definitely impacted the entire world, where we saw students, teachers, and parents all adapting and figuring out how to continue to teach and learn. During this time of upheaval, we also witnessed a rise in student mental health issues, where social isolation, increased stress, reliance on social media, violence in schools, and uncertainty took a toll on students' and teachers' well-being. In fact, a 2022 CDC report found that during the pandemic, more than a third of high school students reported they experienced poor mental health, and 44% of them reported they persistently felt sad or hopeless during the past year. But alas, we have some hope, as we have some wonderful guests here joining us today, because we want to know, where did this leave our high school students and recent high school graduates? And joining our discussion today is a local high school teacher, Josh Grant, and a recent high school graduate, Carolina Paulus. Josh Grant is a current teacher at Venice High School, where he teaches digital studies. And in 2020, he served as the High School Teacher of the Year for Sarasota County Schools. He and his wife were also the parents to three kids of their own, and so they have certainly seen first and foremost all the impacts that this has had. And also joining us, Carolina Paulus, is a shining example of resiliency. She moved to the United States from Poland and began at Riverview High School here in Sarasota County when she was just a freshman in ninth grade, not knowing the language, culture, or customs of American high schools. And then shortly thereafter, she started, COVID hit. Carolina worked hard and received numerous honors while at Riverview High School, from which she graduated just this past spring. She plans to study marketing and business this fall at the University of South Florida. Josh and Carolina, welcome to Education Conversations.
Thanks for having us. I appreciate you letting us be here.
Oh, gosh, I'm glad you're here. Carolina, thank you, too.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Carolina, if I could start with you. I just asked you a question where your situation is very unique and certainly demonstrates a high degree of resiliency. And I know your return to your junior year was particularly impactful for you. And I think if I recollect correctly, tell me if I'm wrong, Carolina, you started in your freshman year, COVID hit, and then you kind of rode the wave of COVID throughout your entire experience and had that impact be a memorable and impressionable part of your high school years. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So what were some of the tools and resources that helped you get through that time?
COVID was a really difficult time because when I first got here, I did not have a lot of people, and I didn't have that time to make the connections I needed. So I think what was really significant for me is to have that support of teachers and like my parents by my side of most of the time. And I was really confused on what I'm going to do about university, and it felt all like chaos at that point. You know, nobody knew what was going on. Everybody was stressed out. And, you know, in sophomore, I went to school instead of doing it online because I could not handle being isolated in my room anymore. I needed to go out. And it was definitely really like experience of our thing in a sci-fi movie when people would get called out of the class and they had to quarantine for a lot of like 3 or 2 weeks. And I really, you know, appreciate just people being close by me and giving me the opportunity to just kind of push through, you know, because I think that was the worst, that COVID school year. And after that, things started to get a little better, but it was not as it was before. People just got, I don't know, they didn't know how to connect anymore as well as they used to before.
That's a great observation, and one that I think has continued as the after effects, if you will, of COVID. And so, Josh, I want to turn it over to you. I'm sure you saw some of your students struggling as well, being a teacher in the classroom, and who are at risk of falling through the cracks during this time. Maybe the gaps actually became even more pervasive than they once were, and the struggles became even more paramount. You're known for being creative and innovative, attributes that certainly earned you the designated Teacher of the Year for the high schools. What were some of the tools that you used to meet your students where they were, and how did you offer support?
Like you said, it was not just about the educational stuff. It was a lot of kids look at us to be that trusted adult at any given point. You know, I've always said that the 47 minutes I have with each kid is the most important minutes of my day. So to build those relationships, that face-to-face stuff is so crucial to the whole educational process. So then when we went out, you know, it was kind of weird to try and figure out how to continue to develop those relationships, continue to cultivate them. So while we were teaching remotely, I would run Instagram Live and YouTube chats 2 or 3 times a week. So instead of having to call kids and say, you know, or hold Zooms, I would deliver my content in each one of those. And if I see them check in, then I could count them as attendance. We can connect through that way, through our social media accounts, and really kind of tailor the connection to some of the things that they were really good at. I knew that if I could get them hooked in with Instagram and YouTube, then they would show up for class. And it, you know, it's different than showing up for Zoom. You don't want to be on the camera. If I could see that they logged in, I can then message them and they can ask questions and things like that. And then that allowed me to have time to connect with those kids that weren't able to jump on those different social media sites and weren't able to get on and that really needed the extra support. Because the kids who jumped on were the kids that you were going to stay engaged with, the kids that were going to be there. The other time was spent trying to get those other students who really needed the extra support, trying to get them connected.
That's so interesting. And the fact that you're a digital studies teacher certainly probably puts you in a place of advantage,
right,
which is really great. And I can only imagine you have probably shared much of your expertise to other teachers, because that seems like such a great way to connect with the students in a really unique, in a unique way.
So when we had the contact tracing, I was able to work from home and I would create lessons each day and post them at a certain time. And it would have my learning intentions. It would have what the kids were doing that day, when the due dates were, and they can contact me with any questions. So we had an English class that had a couple of subs because there was a teacher who was out on maternity leave and they needed to kind of get somebody in there to help structure the class. So I actually moved from the digital media class into the English class for a week to try and get the policies and procedures down, you know, simple things, bathroom policies, classwork policies, things like that. And I use that YouTube channel to manage my content with my digital media class, along with now teaching the live English class. So it's kind of teaching two classes at once. But with the advancements in social media and video capabilities, we're able to deliver our content in multiple different ways, and they're all easily accessible for the kids.
That is brilliant. That is really brilliant. So I have a question for both of you. Maybe I'll start with you, Caroline, to get your response. And again, knowing that COVID was such a significant part for so many people, I'll use that maybe as the demarcation line. But do you see a difference in student behavior and just their own well-being before COVID and then after COVID? Are you seeing a difference in your friends and how you relate and connect and the struggles that you have?
I definitely see a significant difference. So, for example, I was talking to my English teacher and she told me that the seniors were really talkative in her class. Well, the juniors, the class before us, that really also was impacted by COVID, they did not talk at all in class, which is really weird. It never happened to her before because it's usually a very casual class. So I can see that people are struggling also not only to connect with their peers, but also sometimes even talk to like adults, teachers, counselors. Not only we feel disconnected from each other, but also that I think that, you know, the school staff feels that we are disconnected from her additionally to that.
That's great. What about you, Joshua?
Yeah, I mean, as someone who's always kind of prided themselves on building relationships, it's been harder and harder to get those connections at the start of the school year. Because I think we have been, the veil of screens and the accessibility to everybody through a screen has become so prevalent. I think the person-to-person communication has struggled a lot and kids have withdrawn. You know, you think about, and this is another podcast topic for another day, but mental health accessibility, where you can now get counseling appointments and things through Teladoc. And you're looking at someone through a screen, but are they really connecting with that person? So with the kids, you know, they see, it's almost like they see a facade of people at some times, and those connections are harder and harder to develop. And you really have to work at building those relationships before you try and teach them. Because Caroline, I'm sure you can say, you seem like a great student. So, but you learn from teachers you like, you learn from teachers you trust, of course. You want those teachers to learn who you are before you can learn from us.
Yes, there's a need for that connection.
Right.
It's interesting you all continue to make the reference to the relationships, which is such a significant part of a student's ability to learn and connect and to thrive. So I have a question for you also, just to ponder and contemplate over, and that is there a correlation between student achievement and things outside the academic preparedness? And I bring this up because right now we're hearing so much about schooling really needs to focus on the academics, and schooling needs to just keep that focus in the center and let the other things kind of move away, if you will. Not that they're not important, but that schooling really needs to focus on academics. I'm just curious to hear what your response or your reaction would be to that, if there's any tie-in to the paramount importance of the relationships.
So I personally think it's incredibly important, because when I got here, my freshman year, I was struggling with really bad anxiety, and it happened that I had panic attacks in class and I had to leave the class. And what was really essential for me to have that teacher's support, and knowing that even if I have a hard day, I can just come over and like hug them. And, you know, sometimes I had to eat in class because I couldn't lunch due to the stress, and I would go hungry. And, you know, they understood my situation, and I felt like I'm in a safe space, and that made me calm down. And, you know, throughout, I worked with my anxiety. I don't have those issues anymore, but I'm so grateful to those teachers that allow me, you know, to feel better in their presence and just focus on studying more than just, you know, what's going on in my mind and my body.
Great response.
And as I previously stated, we may be the most stable adults they see all day at any given point, because there have been, you know, you hear so many times about kids with issues with home life, with families, with parents and things like that, and instability in the home. So it's paramount to the success of everybody for teachers and students to have those relationships, to learn from one another, to get through these struggling times. Because, you know, you look at the seniors this year, they didn't have a real full year of school really until this year, over the last couple of years. And I mean, full year is we came back with masks, and then we didn't have masks, and then we had desk shields, and then we had all this other stuff and online learning and contact tracing and things. So kids were so in and out. And I don't know about you, but I know there were kids who I had that admittedly they fell off the radar because they were in and out. You know, I would have times where kids would be out for the 14 days. They'd come back for 2 days, and then someone two seats away from them would come down with it. And because everything was so fluid and everything was continuing to develop, sometimes those kids were contact traced and they were out again. So, you know, for them, it's so crucially important for those relationships, for the learning environment, for everyone's mental health.
Yeah, that's really very apropos. And so it seems as though the community cares deeply about kids and wanting to see our next generation thrive. And I know the Education Foundation of Sarasota County certainly carries that torch well and works closely with Sarasota County schools and its teachers and students to help, you know, ensure that the resources and the relationships are there. And so we just hosted a creative problem solving workshop that really kind of focused in on how do we look at some solutions that maybe the community, in addition to the schools, can provide to help strengthen students' resiliency. And I'm just kind of curious, since the two of you all both participated in that, did you have any takeaways or any aha moments yourself of things that may be solutions that we can try?
I found the workshop to be extremely important. And I look at my 9-year-old who's sitting out in the waiting room, the most resilient kid that I've ever met with the things that she has with her health and school and things like that. And that's the thing that we need to help continue to build in kids, because we can have all these different adaptations of technology. We can come up with all these innovative learning strategies and ways to deliver content and ways to create our curriculum. But if you don't teach a kid how to fail forward and how to continue to thrive in a situation where they may not be successful, they may struggle. Struggling is a part of success. Struggling is a part of failure. So we need to help figure out strategies to help build up that level of resiliency, so that way they don't just kind of go into their shell. Because with all the things that have happened over the last couple of years, it's very easy for everybody just to go into their shell. You know, you got to branch out and continue to thrive.
Teachers are the key of success of many, like, children. You know, we look up to teachers. We figure out what we want to do for most of our entire lives. Some people stay one job entire life in high school. So I think it's so crucial to think about how high school shapes a person. And I see the influence of other people. I see the influence of staff on kids. And we cannot treat school like, you know, just like, oh, there you go. We have a book. Learn it and go away. There's so much more that needs to be put in there, and especially to think about what those kids are going through outside of the school, you know, to help them support resilient adults, because we do want to know that next generations will, you know, be doing well and provide for the, you know, older generations. So, you know, to make everybody proud, we should really think about all those aspects that goes for teenagers, young adults, that, you know, shape their mind.
So, and as a teacher, you get this question multiple times a year. Why are we learning this? What are we doing? What do I learn in high school? And I've been very frank with them. You may not use 70% of what you learn as far as book goes. I can't tell you what the Pythagorean theorem is or who won the War of 1812, but you learn how to learn. And you learn how to adapt, and you learn how to become resilient. So all these lessons that you may find unnecessary at any given point, there's always an end game to that. There's always the process will always lead to the product. So, you know, you look at, is it in the Pythagorean theorem, is it Y equals MX plus B? Is that correct? You're smarter than
A
me.
A squared equals B squared.
So I was close. I was close. But when you look at A squared plus B squared equals C squared, how are you going to manage your bills? How are you going to manage your expenses versus your income? How are you going to manage all that things? And that's exactly what you're learning. It's not necessarily the letters and all that other stuff. It's how to plug things in and how to manage and balance and structure the way your life goes. So I'm sorry I got the Pythagorean theorem wrong, but I told you I didn't know it.
You gave hope to all the students, knowing that even teachers don't know it all.
I tried.
So what I would want to bring up is my experience from Polish school versus American school. And how the Polish school works is basically you memorize everything. You do not even think what you're memorizing anymore because there's so much memorization. And that made me so tired, unmotivated, and I felt I don't like studying. I'm not even curious anymore. But when I came here, I saw the different way of teaching. You are not just memorizing, you're analyze the information, you think what you're gonna do it, you think, you know, the consequences of an action, and you're really like starting to think, and that brain that is working, it's what's gonna help you, you know, survive for your life. So that's why I think that even though we do not remember all those things later on, that, you know, the muscle in a way in the brain will stay on throughout your life.
Well, Caroline, I have to applaud you because you certainly demonstrated incredible resiliency from being an adventurous spirit, whether you came willingly or not. But when you came, that was quite a challenge that you overcame. And so going to Josh's statement, failing forward, while you may have had struggles along the way, I think the output is you are in a much better and different place. So we applaud you on just the way you have demonstrated your own perseverance. So can you tell us a little bit about your next steps and where you're heading?
Of course. Well, I'm heading to University of South Florida, where I'm going to be studying marketing advertising in a SAP program, which is a very prestigious program. It's like has only 25 students per year. So I'm very around that number. So I'm very proud to be chosen to be part of that program. And additionally, I want to add management moving forward. So it's going to be a busy 4 years, but I'm very excited for the adventure.
We can't wait to see where you go. And Josh, is you continue to move on. And again, you've just been an outstanding educator in our community. And we're so proud to have you, here for sure. What would you give us advice for the Education Foundation of Sarasota County and how we can best help provide support to students or teachers?
You know, our creative problem solving workshop was just incredible because you had so many different people from so many walks of life in schools, between guidance counselors, teachers, managers, people in the community. I think just keep on supporting the kids. You know, they're the ones who need the most support, and the Education Foundation has been so gracious with their time, so gracious with their funds, so gracious with just the support of everybody. You know, you're not targeting the upper level, you're targeting every kid. And too many times those kids in the mid to lower levels, they kind of just get lost in the shuffle, and the Education Foundation has done a great job in supporting everybody. So that's really, I'm grateful that we were able to come here today. I'm grateful to be involved with the Education Foundation and grateful for everything that the Education Foundation has done with the community.
Yeah, I want to say on a personal example how Education Foundation helped me and my friends is that obviously when I got here, I was really confused. I had a lot of questions how the system works here. You know, my parents have not been to college, so I had no idea what I'm doing, how to get into that place. So I definitely went always to Education Foundation, asked how to move forward. I even didn't know what I want to go and I do if I want to go into business. And that's when they, you know, proposed me to maybe look at like personality tests or maybe do more research. And, you know, that's how I know how I got into the place I am, that I decided, hey, this is what I want to do. And I did not have the confidence I have right now. I was really scared I'm going to forget something, I'm going to miss something. And that's when I got introduced to my mentor, Ms. Dawn. And while I was very, you know, persistent with going and doing it everything myself, knowing that there's somebody next to me that could always help me and I can message them, you know, give me those wings and I could fly and I could do it knowing that I'll be fine, because even if I fell, somebody will catch me. So I felt it was really wonderful, and I did the ACT workshops, which, you know, helped me to get that score I needed to get into USF. So, and I also was the student representative on the board, which was a wonderful experience for me. And I learned so much over that time, and also seen such a kindness of people and work of community that I was really touched, and I'm really glad to be part of it.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you all today joining me for this wonderful discussion. Thanks for the wonderful insights on the experiences that high school students are going through. We know we have a lot of work to do, and with teachers and students like you, I know we will absolutely be successful in our endeavors. And to our listeners, you heard today how valuable relationships are, and we certainly even heard Carolina make mention of a mentor that was a part of her success. So please consider offering your own time and energy and expertise to students through the Education Foundation. Teachers, students, and parents, we can all support you all together if we join forces. And so to learn more about the resources and the programs available through the Education Foundation, you can visit us at www.edfoundationsrq.org. So thanks for listening to today's podcast, and be sure to tune in to our other episodes of Education Conversations. For now, this is Jennifer Vine signing off for the Education Foundation of Sarasota County.